This is our final sermon in this short series on the deity of Christ. This will be a fairly short message just to wrap up this thought. However, we've discussed the promise of the coming Christ, as well as the presence and the presented work of Christ. We've discussed how important it is to fully understand the deity of Christ in order to evangelize our world properly, as well as combat false teachings out there. Today we are going to come to the climax of the Scriptures. We are going to discuss the presiding reign of Christ. Christ came as a servant and humbly during his incarnation. Yet his second coming will look much differently, as we are about to discuss. The humble Christ is now exalted, and his name and renown will be known throughout the earth. No one will be able to stand against him. All glory and honor and majesty is to be given to him. Let us pray. Please, Lord, be with this message, Lord. May your word go out clearly. May we understand just how great you are, Lord God. We love you. Amen. There are many scriptures that we could hit when discussing the presiding reign of Christ. However, I want us to focus in on three key sections of scripture that help give us a good picture of Christ's reign. The first section of scripture that I'd like us to discuss is the Christ hymn. Many of you maybe haven't heard or this referred to as the Christ hymn here, but you'll be familiar likely with this passage in Philippians 2, 6 through 11, which states, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and has bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I feel like I don't even need to teach that after reading that. It's such a powerful section of Scripture. This is a great foundational scripture when studying the presiding reign of Christ. We see both his humility in his first coming and his exaltation that will be seen in his second coming. Verse 6 magnifies Christ's humility as we see Christ not take the authority that is rightfully his. He is God, but he does not take his rightful reign at this point. We see the phrase here, form of God. This is hotly debated among some scholars. However, it appears clear in context that this means that he is by nature God. The scriptures are clear that he is not a type of God. He is God made flesh. Difficult phrases such as these need to be taken in their immediate context as well as in the context of the entirety of scripture. He humbles himself, and verse 7 goes even further, showing that he made himself a servant. The same God who created the heavens and the earth and that deserves all glory and honor and praise makes himself a servant to mankind. My friends, do not miss how big of a deal this is. Verse 8 continues that he humbled himself to the point of death, death on a cross. Jesus had the power to remove himself from the horrible punishment that he received at the hands of man. Even Satan knew this, as we see in Matthew 4, 6. When Satan tempts him, he tempts Jesus to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple. Satan knew that Jesus had the power to step in and save himself. He knew Jesus had the power to call a host of angels to save him. However, praise God that verses 9 through 11 come as well. We do not just worship a humble Savior who came as a servant and died in our place. No, brothers and sisters, we worship a Savior who is mighty and powerful and exalted. Jesus has been highly exalted by the Father, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Brothers and sisters, have you confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord? I do not mean to be so forward here, but Whether you have confessed this or not, one day you will. One day all will bow to Christ. The real question is, are you going to do it willingly, or is it going to be forced? Jesus Christ is God. He is the Savior and ruler over all. Those who acknowledge His Lordship, repent of their sins, and put their trust in Him for salvation will rejoice in the final reigning of Christ. Those who reject Christ during this life will be rejected in the end. They will be humbled, and they will suffer in eternity apart from God and the true lake of fire, which is called hell, where they will be tormented for all time. Please consider the free gift of eternal life through Jesus. I pray that you can truly rejoice when Christ reigns on this earth. Jesus is a wonderful Savior. Don't hear me wrong. Jesus Christ reigns over all right now. He is fully sovereign. But yet, He has allowed Satan to have his time on earth. Satan is referred to as the little g god of this world throughout the Bible. But he is still under the sovereign hand of Christ. But one day, Christ will take his rightful reign and recreate this earth and reign in majesty. We have seen the reigning of Christ in relation to the Christ hymn, and now we will see the reigning of Christ in regards to his judgment, the judgment of Christ. We're going to read Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Then I saw the great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and there was no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were open. Then another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Here we come to the great white throne judgment. This is one of the most terrifying thoughts that one could have, appearing before God without their sins covered by the blood of the Lamb. This powerful God, namely Christ, is so powerful that John states that the earth and sky fled from his presence, for there was no room for them. Whether this is literal or symbolic, it is clear that John is showing the incredible power and majesty of God. I tend to believe this is a literal uncreation of the world. The same God that created the world will uncreate it and make it new again. He will remove the sin-stained world and replace it with a new created heaven. Then we see the books opened. There is the book of life, which is the book that has all of the believers listed. These believers will not face the great white throne judgment, as their sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Yet the books of the deeds of those who are not covered by Jesus' blood, will be judged based on their deeds. There appears to be levels of judgment mentioned here in this section. The following sections of Scripture also point to a level of judgment based on sins. However, one should feel no peace about this. Hell will be a terrible place for all who go there. There will be eternal torment. We see these listed, Matthew 10, 14, and 15, Luke 12, 47 through 48, and Hebrews 10, 29, all allude to levels of judgment. However, time constraints, we're not able to go into that today, but you can read them in the manuscript and go through them and see that. Finally, we see the lake of fire, namely hell. We see that the beast and the false prophet are the first to be thrown into hell back in Revelation 19. Then Satan was cast into hell in Revelation 20, verse 10. Now we see the second death occurring for all who are not believers. They are all cast into hell in order to spend eternity in torment. Brothers and sisters, hell is a real place. It is a place of great torment and unrelenting pain. God does not delight in the destruction of unbelievers. 1 Timothy 2, 4 states, He desires all to come to a saving knowledge of Him. Please heed this word given by John here. Christ will reign through judgment, and all evil will be removed and cast into the lake of fire. Christ will reign despite his humble first appearing. Christ will reign in judgment. And finally, Christ will reign in majesty, glory, and peace. Which brings us to this final point. The eternal presence of God, as we see in Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Let us read this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Praise God. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Christ will reign in his created new heaven and new earth. The old has been uncreated, it has passed away, and the new has come. The sea that took so many lives throughout the history of the world is now no more. There is no fear of drowning or death. There is no mystery any longer in the depths of the sea. There is only peace and joy. The new Jerusalem is prepared as a bride is prepared. God is set to dwell with man and man with God. God has come to dwell in an intimate relationship with man for all eternity. There is no more pain or sickness. There is no more anxiety or depression, no more worry or fear. Christ will wipe away every tear from every eye. There is no more mourning. How beautiful is this eternal presence. We who are believers will reign with Christ for all eternity. We will be able to enjoy the unbridled presence of God forever. Today we've discussed the eternal reigning of Jesus Christ. This series is focused in on the unmistakable deity of Christ. The scriptures are clear that Jesus Christ has always been God and always will be God. He is the I Am. I pray that as we move forward in our walk with Christ, that we can fall even more deeply in love with him. Let us be quick to share the good news of the gospel with all of those around us. As we consider his reigning presence, I pray that our hearts break for those who have and who will reject him. The consequences of sin are definite and will be swift. Proclaim the gospel, my friends. Proclaim the gospel. Let us pray. Lord God, embolden us to share your word with those around us, God. Help us to fall more deeply in love with you, Jesus Christ. Help us to serve you and worship you and proclaim the gospel to those who are lost, Lord God. We thank you and we praise you for salvation, Lord. You are good. Amen.